You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Well, I'm back. I was going to have a show Monday. I was preparing for a show. It was about 20 minutes to the show time when I was invited to a meeting that unfortunately went past four. And it was an important meeting, so I really could not get out of it. I really had to stay because it concerned something I was doing. The show, to make it short, was cut. I really was not in a frame of mind to present a show after that meeting, and decided to cancel the show because I really didn't have enough time to get in the subject matter, and my head was not in the right place. Now, Tuesday, and this is hard to believe, I sit down for the show, ready to do a solid hour show. I've done my show prep. I was 2 minutes from going on the air. And what should happen? Initially, I thought it was a fire drill. Well, this wasn't a fire drill. This was apparently someone had pulled the lever, and the fire engines from the Dallas Fire Department pulled up to Richland College. And again, the show, after that we got the all clear to come back in the building, it simply was not enough time to present a solid hour show. So I was rather disappointed again and somewhat annoyed because I really wanted to start Monday fresh, beginning of the semester, because this is the first week of the semester. Students are back, raring to go, and twice the show was more or less preempted, one by myself. It was my decision on Monday, but on Tuesday, the circumstances were beyond my control. So today, we'll start the semester anew, and I will have at least a 45-minute show. I'm looking at the clock, maybe an hour, depending on people's schedule. And I swore to myself that I never was going to go back to Ferguson, Missouri, in that story. I'm tired of it. It's in the hands of the grand jury. Whether or not they indict him or the police officer or not. And I think if they do, it's going to go to trial. I think ultimately the police officer is going to be found not guilty. That's my opinion. But I haven't seen all the evidence. And really, that is the position I was taking. Nobody except for the people directly involved with the investigation, namely the police officers, the investigators, the attorney's office, have a complete or near complete overview of what happened in Ferguson. And there's nothing really to be said until, again, the grand jury either no bills him, which I think they should, or even if they do indict him, bring a bill, it still has to be prosecuted, and we're literally months away. It'll be after the election, for sure, before we have a trial, if we have a trial. Again, I don't think we should have a trial, but that's only my opinion. Now, why am I coming back to it? And I'm going to relate two stories, the story in Ferguson and the story with what's happening in Iraq and Syria with the Islamic State. But more importantly, how the media is treating both stories and what's going on here, because I think public opinion is intentionally being manipulated. Some probably are not clued into that, but that's what's happening. They're messing with your minds, both in Ferguson and on the Ferguson story and on the Islamic State story. So I'm going to connect the two stories because it involves the media handling of news or mishandling of the news. And what's happening is we're hearing propaganda dressed up as news. So Monday I learned, was it Monday or Tuesday? I'm trying to think. I think it was Tuesday. Monday, I was going to do the Islamic State situation. So it was Tuesday I learned that CNN, with a big, well, I won't say a big disclaimer, with the disclaimer saying they can't vouch or confirm this tape at all, went ahead and broadcast the tape of a conversation that someone, we don't know who, and we don't know who they were calling, and it was about a 10 or 11 second audio from a conversation that someone was having with his girlfriend, apparently with his girlfriend, one of these videos where you can call your friend, and if you both have a camera, you can each see each another what's going on. But that's not really the subject or the importance of the audio from this conversation. They didn't release the video. They just released the tape or recording of the conversation. Now, this gentleman was in his apartment and was making this telephone conversation, this video exchange, if you will. But you have to ignore that, because what you allegedly, and that's the word, you allegedly hear in the background, they're firing of six shots with about a three-second gap. I won't say gap, but delay. Think of it this way. It's six shots being fired, a three-seconds pause, and then another four, and the lawyer for this for the person that actually recorded it says maybe five shots were fired, and this was supposedly of the shooting in Ferguson, because this gentleman lives near where that shooting was. Now, there's no way to confirm or verify that this audio is legitimate. You see, I do a lot of audio and video, and I mix different tracks. And you could literally take audio from a straight no shots with the conversation and then put another track down of shots. I'm not saying that was done. I don't know. They haven't been able to verify it through experts, the FBI or the police department, but they went ahead and broadcast it. Now, that's at their judgment. I think it's rather poor judgment for this reason. This can be a total, complete fabrication, or it can be genuine. I'm not in a position to make any decision on that, but I think it's the responsibility of CNN before it, and I think this is the right word, inflames the community once again to verify that, to do what a professional news journalist should be doing. It's not enough to accept blindly that this is accurate. And like I said, you can mix two tracks together. Or this could be a recording from anywhere really in the world. Now, supposedly this is someone that lives in Ferguson and was living near where this shooting occurred. I assume they verified at least that much. But what's really suspicious about this is it took a rather long time before this came out. And why am I being critical about this and really upset about it? We have elections coming up in November, and it's no secret that the Democratic candidates, not all of them, but many of them, are in serious trouble, because the American people, not all of them, but a majority of them, are unhappy with the performance of our president, both in economic affairs and in foreign affairs. And they're really unhappy about Obamacare to the extent they've been affected, and many millions have been affected. So if I were a Democrat, especially one that's an incumbent, whether in the House and the Senate, you might be preparing to leave your office, be voted out of office. And they are distancing themselves from President Obama. They really don't want to appear near him. And after Labor Day really starts the push, remember, the elections is the first Tuesday in November, November 4th. So we're about, roughly nine weeks away from Election Day. And President Obama's popularity and job approval numbers have been falling, and I think will continue to fall. So the Democratic Party, as well as Barack Obama, have a problem, a big problem. And what do politicians do, whether it's a Democratic or Republican candidate, when they have a problem? They try to distract you from what's going on. Now, it's also no secret that the major television networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and I'm specifically excluding Fox News, are all big supporters of Barack Obama. They cover his back. Many of them do his bidding, including CNN. They want to help their Democrats try to maintain control of the Senate, and although I think it's a real long shot, try to pick up some seats and maybe gain control back of the House. I don't think the latter is going to happen, and I think it's a 50-50 proposition who is going to control the Senate. I have no idea whether it's going to be the Democratic Party again or the Republican Party. But if you've have you noticed there's not been many polls being published? Usually these networks, in conjunction with either the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, they do polling. And you better believe if the Democrats were doing well, or at least even, and Barack Obama's approval numbers were improving, you would hear the poll numbers. There's a deafening silence on that score. And I think the reason is they know they have done the polling and it doesn't look good. So instead of doing what they usually do, publish the polls and tell from their side, their point of view, from their side, look, Obama's doing well, he's polling good. The Republicans, the so-called wave election, and I'm not at all convinced we're going to have a wave election where one party, such as in 2010, where the Republican Party won significant gains in the House of Representatives, and that's the reason John Boehner today is Speaker of the House, because you had a lot of Tea Party candidates that won election. Yeah, some lose, some lost, some won, a lot won in the House, a few in the Senate, but some forecasters are saying we might have another wave election. I think it's real too early to really say that. And you are going to have specific numbers. And it's not just in one district or in one senatorial race. You're going to have poll numbers across the country. And they're going to have to be analyzed. And I haven't seen the details from any polling organization that shows that. Now, the one thing you are seeing and hearing is the Republican base is fairly well motivated to turn out. Now, I need to disclose, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I gave up on the Republicans, really, in 2006 because they had become fiscally irresponsible. The Democrats are worse, a lot worse. But be that as it may, I think you're going to see a backlash. And it will be primarily from white voters and older white voters. And what I mean by that, I'm rather disgusted with the way the White House and the Attorney General have politicized what is, as far as I'm concerned, a shooting in a local community. It's none of the federal government's business. They made it their business, and I think for political reasons, and the press supported them to make it seem that police officers across the country are executing or shooting down blacks. And that's the impression or myth they're trying to build up. And the air out of that myth collapsed when one thing happened. And that was when the police, local police department of Ferguson, over the objections of the Attorney General Eric Holder, that did not want this video released, released a video showing that Michael Brown, just prior to being stopped by the cops and told to get out of the middle of a street, had just come from stealing, shoplifting cigars, cigarillos, and then pushed, really assaulted, manhandled the owner of that shop, pushed him into a display case. Those are two crimes. One's a misdemeanor, another is a felony. But prior to that, if you'd listen to the mime, the myth that was trying to be perpetuated, was a police officer in cold blood shot a black teenager when he was running away from the scene of where the police officer's car was stopped. That's what people heard, and that's what many people wanted to believe. But now more and more and more information is coming out. But when that video clearly shows Michael Brown engaging in criminal behavior, and eyewitnesses have reported that him and his friend were walking down the middle of the street, and the police officer stopped his car, told him to get out of the street, you're blocking traffic, they ignored a lawful order, and here's where it gets real muddled. From eyewitnesses, Brown attacked the police officer and shot, at least one shot was fired in the car. And then initially, Michael Brown ran away, turned around, and then rushed the police officer. And that was his big mistake. Had he gone to the sidewalk, he'd be alive today. If he had kept on running away, he might be alive today. But no, he turned around and rushed the police officer. that is asking him to stop, and he didn't do it. And I think he was trying to do exactly what he did in that grocery store. He thought he was a big guy, and he could attack the police officer and get away with it. That was his mistake. Because police officers are trained when someone is quickly rushing you to fire their weapon and bring the person down. Stop them. Stop them. And this gentle giant was big. And his weapons were his body and his hands. And he had already collapsed the eye socket of the police officer earlier. So the police officer is completely justified, given those sets of facts, to use deadly force and fire his pistol. Now, when you're in that situation, and I remember when I heard initially that on the autopsy that was released, that there were 6 wounds. 4 were in the arm, 2 were in the head near the eye area. Now, that really surprised me. I didn't know what weapon he had, whether he had a pistol that had 6 shots or another type of pistol that maybe had 10. I didn't know what weapon he had. What surprised me, that he hit him, that he didn't miss, that he did not miss. Because usually when you're in a stressful situation like that and you don't regularly practice shooting, and most cops, some do but some don't, you're going to miss more than once. Now let's assume for a minute that this audio that CNN broadcast, I'm still critical of them broadcasting it, by the way, because this could be a complete fraud. We don't know. It hasn't been examined by experts, and it takes experts to really look at this. And they can make a determination what happened. And if this is legit, fine. But let me give you my take on the 10. Let's assume it is legitimate. No one is fooled around with the audio. In other words, what you heard is exactly right. It appears that the police officer did miss. He fired 10 shots, and he missed 4 times. Slightly less than half. That is something I would expect to happen. Doesn't surprise me. And if someone is way bigger than me that's already hit me severely, is coming towards me, I'm going to shoot, just like the police officer did, because that's what you're trained to do. And the reason is very simple. If you don't shoot or delay in shooting, what can happen? The attacker can grab your gun and shoot you. That's why police officers are trained to shoot when someone is attacking them, because the person attacking them can get the gun and turn it right on the police officer. And the police officer knows that. So now we have, well, he shot him 10 times. And why did he stop? Well, he did stop for 3 seconds. If someone is rushing me and I fire six shots thinking I hit him, and let's say the guy pauses or slows down but then keeps on coming, and that happens all the time, I'm going to empty my gun or my pistol. I'm going to fire those 4 shots. And remember, the range will be closing. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of those 4 shots, or both of those 4 shots, hit him in the head. So I think there's a very logical explanation for that audio, assuming it's valid. But I think that CNN had to hire and should have hired audio experts, as well as contact the authorities, to first just to inform them what they have. They did They did announce that have a disclaimer. They had to do that, and they did that. I'm very suspicious of the audio. Not that I think it's either bogus or not. It's just odd that it took this long. And what's also strange about the audio, if I were the girlfriend on the other side and she's hearing shots in the background, why didn't she ask, well, what's going on, honey? What are all those firings? Is that firecrackers? Is it car backfiring? Or is it someone firing a gun? We didn't hear that. Now, maybe it's further in the conversation, but we have just roughly a 10 to 11 second clip. Now, maybe CNN has the whole thing. And maybe the gentleman just totally was unaware that he was picking up the sounds of the shootings, because he was rather focused on this audio, video conversation with his girlfriend. And maybe he was a little bit embarrassed in terms of what I was saying. You see, the situation in Ferguson was calming down, finally calming down. And this could inflame it again. I hope it doesn't. We'll find out. I don't really think this adds much to the story in Ferguson. But what does it illustrate? What it illustrates is the obsession of the news media, in this case CNN, to go back to the myth, the narrative that they were trying to portray was happening in Ferguson. That a white police officer in cold blood shot in the back a black teenager running away. Well, it's a nice story. It's a fairy tale. It's a myth. It's a fairy tale. There's no evidence whatsoever that this police officer was a racist in any way. He has no complaints against him. And that's very, very important. Where you have cops that are bigots or racist, let me tell you what you'll have. You'll have a file, usually a fairly big file, of more than one citizen's complaining about the officer. You didn't have this in this case. It wasn't a racist cop. It was a police officer doing his job. And then, remember, Brown had already committed two crimes. Walking in the middle of the street, it's a misdemeanor. It's jaywalking. That's the third crime. The fourth crime was assaulting the police officer. And when he turned around to attack the police officer again, he was shot and killed. I keep asking myself, if I were the parents, didn't they teach their children to respect police officers? Doesn't mean they have to like them. And I've been in a situation where I wasn't happy with the police officer. And it's all involves traffic violations or alleged violations. And one sticks in my mind. I didn't break any law, and I still got a ticket. Did I get mad? Did I assault the officer? Did I shoot him? Did I run away? No. I said, I'll see you in court, officer. And that should be the appropriate response. And parents should teach their children, you have to be careful. You don't go for their gun. You don't attack a police officer. Because once you do, you're putting your own life in risk. In risk. And that's what Michael Brown did, and he paid for it with his life. And hopefully some of the people out there are learning from this. I don't think so. Now, what's going on here? And what's not being talked about? And I've said this in past shows, but I'm bringing it back. Blacks are the victims of, we're only going to confine it to homicides, but the same is true of assaults and rape. In 2011, there were over 12,000 homicides in the United States. Over 6,300 of those homicides, the victim was black. Remember, and I need to do a little homework, approximately 13% of the population in the United States is black. In other words, more than four times their percentage of the approximately four times their percentage of the population, they were victims. They shouldn't have been victims that much. Yeah, over 5,000 times, about, I think, 5,800 or so, were whites. I would expect that because whites are the predominant percentage of the population, roughly 75%. But they were victims. More than half the time. More than half the time. I would be concerned about that. I think there needs to be discussion. Why are so many blacks being murdered, raped, and assaulted? Now, why isn't that conversation going on? Not hard to connect the dots on this one. Because over 90% of the people doing the homicide, committing the crime, were also black. This is black on black crime. That is the story that the media does not want to focus on because we have a black president. This would embarrass our black president. Meanwhile, the black communities all over the country, innocent, law-abiding black citizens are being assaulted by thugs, gang members, drug dealers in their own community. And that's the story that is not being broadcast. Now, let me give you another story that I did not, that I prepared Tuesday, yesterday. Let me bring it up because I want to refresh my memory. This was a story from Mississippi, rural Mississippi. I'm looking at it. I thought I brought up this story. Apparently, I'm not seeing it. Oh, there it is. Okay. This happened. I'm looking at the time, and I don't have much time. Two white men, one a former Marine, another a former Air Force veteran from Afghanistan. I need to set the background. They were going to go into a restaurant, and in the parking lot, someone warned them, I wouldn't go in there because they're really discussing what's happening in Ferguson. And a lot of the clientele in the restaurant was black, and these are two white men in Mississippi in the evening, late evening, going into the restaurant. And there was an altercation. Words were exchanged. Now, the police were called, and these two gentlemen decided, okay, to leave. And they went to another restaurant in West Point, Mississippi. And as in that parking lot, they were assaulted by, they went into the restaurant. Again, words were exchanged. And the conversation was about what's happening in Ferguson. And you're going to get differences of opinion largely depending on whether you're blacks or whites. My opinion is very simple. We don't have all the facts. Nobody except people directly involved in this case have the facts. We have not heard witness statements. Oh, we've heard people, the friend of Michael Brown, saying what happened, but he has a credibility problem, namely three crimes that he committed, and two were clearly misdemeanors. You shouldn't get shot for shoplifting or jaywalking. No one is saying that. But if indeed Michael Brown attacked the officer, assaulted the officer, severely attacked them, and then came back to finish the job, not running away, but attacking the officer, that changes it. But you see, depending on whether you're black or white, you jump to the conclusion, if you're black, that Michael Brown was running away, or if he was coming back, he had his hands up. If you're white, some are saying, listen, the police officer was completely justified. If you attack a police officer, it doesn't matter what color he is, what sex he is. The moment you cross that line, you're risking your own life. Because legally, the police officers are well within their authority. If they feel threatened, life threatened, and in this circumstance, I would feel life threatened, they can use their weapon. And unfortunately, in this case, that's what happened. Now, what happened in the parking lot? Approximately 20 people jumped these two whites, and one was beat severely. Have you heard anything about this in the news? I have not. There's news stories on this, local news stories, but nothing is heard about this. Now, why am I pointing this out? Most crime is, for example, white on white or black on black. What is unusual, I'll be the first to say that, is when you have different races involved in terms of who did the crime and who was the victim. And that's what you have here. But here, the victim happens to be white. So do you hear the press, national television, the president, Eric, attorney general, flying down to West Point, Mississippi? No. There's the silence is deafening. And that's my point. And why should it be covered? The same black thugs that beat up these two whites are doing the same thing in the black community. The same thing, where blacks are the victim. You see, if you're doing crime and you're primarily from a black neighborhood, guess who the victims of these crimes are going to be? Blacks. Blacks. Other blacks. That's what's not being covered. You see, it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the story that it's the white racist cop that was out to execute a poor teenager, poor innocent teenager, a choir boy, the gentle giant. The problem the media has, that story doesn't play. And you have an additional facts that it's undeniably, and that's what happened as a result of this killing. And I'm talking about the widespread looting in Ferguson. Widespread looting. Because what happens there? Who are the victims? Who goes to those stores? Remember, this is a predominantly black population. The numbers I'm hearing, roughly two-thirds are black. They're the customers of all these stores. And they were being looted. Some were firebombed, burned down. And what happens? Many of those, and these are usually small business owners, those stores go out of business, or if they stay in business, their property and casualty insurance will go up, and the prices in that community will also go up. Who gets hurt? Everybody that lives in Ferguson. But also, predominantly, the black population gets hurt. You see, I was aghast at the looting going on, and the police did not stop it. Did not stop it. Eventually, and there was also people throwing gasoline in bottles at the police. Some police officers were hurt. And what was happening? You had outside thugs, criminals, from out of state also coming to the area. Now, why am I talking about this? This story is being used deliberately as a distraction from many very more important stories, but more importantly, used to try to get out the black voter base in November. We're going to protect your civil rights. Yeah. Didn't do much of a job. We have several stores in Ferguson that either are burnt out or their shelves, their merchandise are stolen. It's not free. You got to restock that. And even if you have insurance, your insurance premiums are going to go up. You see, the violent thugs took over Ferguson temporarily. And you've seen the videos, people going into the stores, coming out, hiding their face. They knew they were committing a crime and carrying merchandise. And the police let it go on. I would not have tolerated that. What point, you know, there's part of the debate is whether there should be the police giving military equipment. And if you look at the police officers, they look like troops, combat troops. Well, what's the point if they have some military gear, helmets, goggles, vests, if they're going to stand around and not enforce the law? Why stores are being broken into, deliberately broken into. That's the further crime. And people are rioting. I'm for the rule of law. And if you break the law, you're subject to arrest, a trial, and if you're found guilty, punishment. And many of those people were arrested and hopefully will go to jail if it's true that they committed a crime. But the media has fueled this, both on television, in the print, and in their cartoons. And I've given you a sample, and I need to say this because I should have said this early in the show. If you want to listen to the show, go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to the last 60 to 80 of the shows. At the very bottom of the page, you'll have links to all my shows, with the exception of some of the earlier ones that were overwritten. But in between, you'll have additional information, videos. I have some information on, you can hear the video that I'm referring to. And it's been played on the news. That's why I didn't play it. It's been played on the news. It's been in the news. But what has not been in the news was that what was happening happened first at the Waffle House and then at another restaurant. Now, I can understand that both blacks and whites are a little bit in disagreement here, but that doesn't justify further criminal activity on anyone's part. You want to discuss it, you want to argue about it, fine. But you don't kick and beat someone senseless. And that's what happened in West Point, Mississippi. And you haven't heard a word on it on national news, and you won't. Because this time it was 20 blacks beating up on two white guys. I wonder why they didn't cover that. I wonder why the president didn't cover it in his press conference or attorney general go down. Well, I know why. It doesn't fit the narrative. It's the white police that are the problem. There's no indication of that in Ferguson. None. And now we have a community where several stores have been looted, shut down, whether or not permanently or not remains to be seen. And you better believe the prices of that was merchandise is going to go up. Now, I didn't have time to connect this to what's happening in Iraq and Syria with the Islamic State, but I will. Because in both instances, the media is trying to manipulate public opinion. Not giving you the straight news, but giving you the story of the propaganda that they want you to believe. And it happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and it's happening today regarding the Islamic State. Why? There are interests in this country that want us to go to war. The warmongers are beating the drums. And it's happening in talk radio, and it is also happening in so-called straight news, your television news. Again, we have a problem of rather mixed signals from the Obama administration. You see, and this might surprise you, and I actually agree with Obama on this case, and I think I'm with the majority of the American people. The American people do not want the majority of the American people do not want combat troops sent back to Iraq. Now, there is a minority in this country, many of them so-called neoconservatives in the Republican Party, that want to do that. And they are banging on the drums like you wouldn't believe it. I got the signal. I got to wrap up. But I'll get into this the next show, because they're trying to take us to war. They're trying to get you scared of the Islamic State. Well, these nuts, and they're nuts, they're thugs, they're killers, are in Iraq and Syria. And yeah, maybe they could come over here, but there's crime already here. What they're doing in Iraq and Syria is already happening in the United States. We had over 12,000 murders in 2011, and that's the bad news. The good news is crime is actually on the decline. So I want to cover how the media is handling that story. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not represent the views or opinions of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.